I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven.
Welcome to Standing for the Faith radio broadcast, brought to you by Tree of Life Baptist Church. Tree of Life Baptist Church is located at 415 Central Church Road, Morristown, Tennessee, 37814. Our service times are Sunday morning Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. Our Sunday morning worship is at 10:30 a.m. Sunday nights we meet at 6 o'clock. And at Wednesday nights, we have services at 7 p.m. We invite you to come out and be a part of our services. May God bless you as you listen to this morning's broadcast.
In haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now here's our text verse. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, this morning we come to you. We are praying that you give me clarity of thought this morning. Let the Holy Spirit speak through me. Lord, let your word be magnified. Let your name be lifted up on high. Lord, let us be reminded of the importance of the innocent blood of Christ. If there be any in here that is lost this morning, if there be any child of God that is wayward, Lord, help us to get a glimpse of Calvary. Help us to get a glimpse of the importance of the blood that was shed for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you look here with me in verse 13, he says, and the blood shall be to you for a token. Now the word token means it's a visible or a tangible representation of a fact. I don't know about you, but I, in my mind, had asked, when you see this, why is it the blood? Why the blood? Have you ever asked that question? Why the blood? Why couldn't it have been a toe? Why couldn't it have been money? Why couldn't it have been gold? Why the blood? Why did God give the blood for a token? Now, one of the answers is because God said so. That's a good answer. And that should end everything. But upon reflection of this, why did the Lord say, hey, you need to take a lamb of the first year, a male lamb or a goat, and you're going to put it up for about 4 days there, and then you're going to kill it, and you're going to take that blood with hyssop, we find out. Later you take a hyssop, and you strike it on the door. Post the two sides and the above. Now we understand, because we have the completed word of God, that was the sign of the cross. He said put it on the lintel, and then he said put it on the two side posts. That's the cross, the sign of the cross. Now the children of Israel, they didn't know that, but they were obeying God when the Lord says, you take that blood of that lamb, and he says, I want you to strike the blood on the lintel and the two side posts, two door posts. You say, why? Well, I believe if you look at this Bible and you begin to study the word blood in your Bible, it's going to show up somewhere around 700 times in the book. Now, there's a lot of modern versions that take the blood out in a lot of places. And I'm going to tell you something. There's something wrong when somebody wants to mess with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in your Bible. The blood is one of the deepest doctrines of the Word of God. I want to spend just a few moments of my time this morning, maybe kind of delving into maybe a deeper doctrine just to illustrate the fact that the doctrine of the blood is a very deep doctrine. If you was to reflect with me for a second on why the blood, if you were to carefully go through the Bible and mark out all the passages that refer to the blood and are associated with it in any way, you would be surprised at how little of the Bible you would have left. In fact, its value would be gone. The historical portions would be meaningless. The ethical teaching powerless. And the prophetical statements unfulfilled. Every doctrine in the Bible is dependent on the blood. Without Jesus' blood, there would be no forgiveness. Without Jesus' blood, there would be no regeneration. Without the blood, there would be no justification. There would be no sanctification. There would be no peace. There would be no joy. There would be no rest. There'd be no hope. There'd be no resurrection. There would be no heaven. There would be no robes of white, and there would definitely not be no new song over there. And Revelations, when they said, they sang a new song talking about the blood of the Lamb, and they were able to overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb. If you was to take the blood out of your Bible, you wouldn't have much of it left. Without their blood, there is no atonement. The Bible is clear about that. Now, an easy way to look at the word atonement, it's spelled A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T. Atonement means at one with. Atonement. Without the blood, there would be no at one with. And when we get saved today, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of our hearts. God takes His blood and strikes out the sin. He purges it. He takes it away. And we become at one with God. And see, here's the problem that we get into. The fall of man there in the garden put Adam and Eve at two-ment. They weren't at one-ment no more. They were at two-ment. That sin separated them. And that sin bore a penalty of death, which is the wages of sin. Think with me for a moment there. What in the world was going on there in the garden? Could you imagine that God created Adam and Eve perfect? And He did. And they were in that garden. But there was one commandment that He told them, He gave them. He says, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Well, guess what? The old devil comes strolling up there in the garden, and he approached Eve there, and he began to sweeten up Eve's appetite. He was kind of putting out some corn. He was chumming there, and he got Eve to looking there through the eye gate, and she looked at that fruit and said, well, it's a tree to be desired. It's a tree that looks good for food, and it's the one to be desired to make one wise. She ate. You say, well, now this thing can get deeper, and I'm not going to get deeper than that this morning. Let me put it to you like this. We'll sum up. When they eat of the fruit, it give them a bad case of the blood poisoning. That's what happened there. Blood poisoning. It affected their blood. You say, why do you think that? Because Adam lost something. The Bible says that life is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. He says that life is in the blood. He said, well, how do you know that? Because mankind has had a blood problem ever since. A matter of fact, womankind has had a blood problem ever since the fall. And we all kind of understand that. She's had a blood problem. And now mankind is now a flesh-dominated, blood disease body that dies. In the garden before the fall, they were in a body, but it was a spiritually dominated body. And God said that Adam and Eve died that day. Their spirit died. They were no longer at one-ment with Christ. So what did God do? where we see the importance of the sacrificial blood, because now mankind has a blood problem. I mean, it is not by accident that the first miracle that Moses performed when he went into Egypt was turning the water into blood. It was not by accident that the first miracle that Jesus performed at the wedding there in Cana was turning the water into blood. There's something to that. Man has a blood problem. And God has said over there in Leviticus 17, about verse 11, God has stated this in His Word: for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar, what? To make an atonement, to bring at-one-ment with God for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You say, Brother Gabbard, why? Because something happened to Adam and Eve's blood, and the quickest way to answer that is they got blood poisoning. Not going to live forever no more. And because we are a disease-ridden people, and many of our diseases are in the blood, we can understand that. But God there in that garden provided an innocent lamb for a sacrifice. You say, well, there's no mention of a lamb there. Well, why did Abel bring a lamb? Matter of fact, the Bible student would know that the Bible says in Proverbs that the skins of a lamb is for our covering. And what did God make for them there in the garden? Coats of skin. So it's clear that He had used a lamb. And then He promises Eve to send a promised seed, an innocent lamb, to redeem mankind from Satan, who is now owner of mankind. And He taught them to bring a yearly sacrifice, a picture of what was to come. Now here's what the sacrifice was about. Sacrifice showed, when Abel brought his sacrifice, it showed to God that Abel was admitting that he had a blood problem and must be redeemed. It was the token. That's why Cain was rejected, because he did not bring blood. He did not bring a lamb. He brought vegetables. What he was saying to God when he brought his vegetables was, I do not have a blood problem. I don't care what you say. My blood's just fine. And the Lord had already declared that man, because of Adam's transgression, had a blood problem. So the animal sacrifice, something innocent, had to give its life to make some atonement. Now we understand that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin, but it had to be dealt with. Hebrews tells us that it was a yearly thing there that purified that flesh and then helped them when they failed in the ordinances of God's service there. But he says the blood of Jesus Christ was more better. It goes beyond that to purge the conscience. He said the blood of bulls and goats could not purge the conscience. So bringing a lamb, when Abel brought the lamb, he was admitting to God that he has a blood problem and he must be redeemed. That was his token that God told him. That was what represented to God. You're admitting to God, God, you're right, I have a blood problem, and here's my token. It also admitted, when Abel brought that blood sacrifice, that God's way was the only way man could be redeemed. Now that's why the Bible says in Jude 11 that Cain went his own way. That's why the religion of Cain is so very damnable. He said, I'm going to go my way. I don't have a blood problem. I don't have an issue. And I can get to heaven on my good works. And God says, you can't. You got blood poisoning. You're corrupt. So bringing a lamb was showing God that only God's way was the only way to be redeemed. God in the garden, when He made the coats of skin, it teaches us that salvation must be all of the Lord. Amen and amen. And our salvation today is all of the Lord. Salvation must be by the death of an innocent substitute. That's what it pictures. And number three, it taught us that it must be by the shedding of innocent blood. It is the blood that makes atonement. An offering, or what God said to offer, was submitting to God's way and a reminder that a perfect Redeemer was coming. It showed God that the individual had a broken spirit. See, if we used to take all Bibles to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. Here's what God said here in Psalms 51 about verse 16. He says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." The sacrifices of God are not are a broken spirit. When they brought this lamb for a sacrifice, it was showing God and admitting to God that they had a broken spirit. Man died spiritually in the garden. And then he has a broken and a contrite heart for his sin. The word contrite means to express remorse or guilt. You're sorry, and therefore you are repenting of your wrongdoing. That's what the offering, that's why the blood, it was a token, and that's what Exodus chapter 12 is telling us, that the blood here, the blood of this lamb that you're going to take, he says it's a token. It has been a token since the Garden of Eden that you have a blood problem, and the death angel's coming in, and he says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," is what the Lord said. Remember, the Lord told Abraham that God would provide himself a lamb. Now, there's something that I need to get through here before I actually get into what does the blood do, or the importance of the blood. We see kind of the history of the blood. We get back here. Let's just go to the importance of the blood. We might preach on some other points here that are right here in the text later. But I want to give you the importance of the blood. The Lord said that he was coming through. And he says judgment was coming. And if I have anything to say to us this morning, to the world, to America, to anybody that would hear my voice, that judgment is coming, the death angels coming around, God says, "I'm going to come and I'm going to inspect and I want to see the blood." And he says, any house, any person, any heart that does not have the blood applied, I'm going to reject. And the death angel's going to come in and he's going to have his way. He said, "Boy, that's pretty rough." Well, that's correct. Because we have a blood problem. We have blood poisoning. And therefore, we need a Redeemer. You say, "Well, get me into this, the importance of God's blood." Now, here this lamb was a picture. It was the token that God had told them to use. But it was spoke, he says, that Abel spoke better things to come. The death of Abel. What was going on over there. And how the world had gotten corrupt. But the Lord says, through all that, a Redeemer is coming. He had promised. The Bible's clear to tell us the importance of God's blood is without the blood, there's no redemption. You could not be bought back. To redeem means to purchase back. That means God once owned us in the garden and he lost us to the devil, because anytime you're born now, as in a natural man, you're born automatically into the kingdom of Satan. You're Satan's child. And the Lord said, "You once were mine. You can't redeem yourself. You can't give your own blood because your blood's poisoned." But he said, "I'm going to shed my blood, innocent blood, life-giving blood, eternal blood. And without God's blood, there would not be any redemption." Oh, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn there quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 7, which is not another. I'm in Galatians, I did that yesterday. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom, there he is, he's talking about Jesus, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. If you was to back up to verse 5, he's talking about Jesus, that lamb. Now, John said there in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You know what Job said before Calvary? He said, Lord, you've taken my sins and you've sewed them up in a bag. David said, Lord, you've taken my sins and put them behind, put them as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah said, Lord, you've taken my sins and you've cast them behind your back. But what does John say after the cross? All that was pre-Calvary, but after Calvary, John the Baptist says, no, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't say he was sewing it up in a bag. He didn't say he was casting it behind his back. But this blood, this redeeming blood, was going to take it away, purge it. It's the only blood that will purge your conscience. Many folks today, they think they get saved, but if that conscience has not been purged, if you do not have a new awareness to sin, the blood's not been applied. Because when God applies that blood, it's redeeming blood. He buys us back. Now let me finish the verse here. He says, in whom we have redemption. How? Through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen and amen. Without Christ's blood, there would be no redemption for you and me. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there would be no remissions. Hey, the Bible is clear to say in Hebrews chapter 10 about verse 17 that our sins are forgotten. They're gone forever, forever. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could do that. There would be no remission without this blood. This blood is a token. It represents here what Christ was going to do. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no reconciliation made. Without God's blood, because man has a blood problem, because he's at two ment in a lost state. And God says, I want you to be at one ment, atonement. Without the blood, there's no reconciliation. Reconciliation means peace with God. The Bible is clear to say that God was the offended. See, we're all the time looking at this thing about me. What happened to me? What goes on with me? And we don't understand that it's God that was offended by sin there in the garden. And Christ's blood satisfies the offended, Colossians 1:20. But also, the blood of Christ, it brings reconciliation. The offended, or the offender, me and you, we're justified by God's blood. Romans 3, verse 24. We've been justified. That means made just as if we had not sinned. And according to 1 John 1, 7, our the offense is nullified. All because of the blood of Christ. That's what's going on over here in Exodus 12. That's why the Lord was able to let them die on credit and say, if you take this token, this innocent lamb, and put the blood on the door, I'll pass over you. Why? Because He said He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no readiness for service. Did you catch that? In the text, there's a few points there. Number one, if we was to preach that textually there, one, they had to secure the lamb. He said, go get you a lamb. Number two, you had to share the lamb. That means Jesus Christ is too big for you to keep all to yourself. And right there in that text, he said, you're going to have to share the lamb. We today are to share that lamb. One, we're to secure the lamb. Accept the lamb. Get us a lamb. We need Jesus Christ. He's our lamb. He said, secure him. Then you got to share him. But then down there, he says, you're going to have to sear him. Did you see that? He said, they was going to have to roast that lamb. Going to have to serve it. Going to have to serve the lamb. But they're going to have to roast it. Did you catch that? Let me end on that. Exodus chapter 12. He said, I need to make a point on this. He says, verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Now watch this. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water. He says, don't water down the gospel. You cannot preach the gospel, the death of Christ. He said, you sear it with fire. You can't talk about the love of Jesus until you talk about the wrath of Jesus, the hell, fire, and brimstone that you're facing if you won't take the blood of the Lamb. It's right there in the text. He said, you're going to have to serve the Lamb. And that lamb is going to have to be seared. You're going to have to share it with one another. But he says, make sure you don't water it down. Don't boil it up. Don't serve it raw. Don't just give it to somebody and think they're going to cook it up. No, you cook it up. You roast it with fire. You make sure they understand without the blood of the lamb, they're heading to a devil's hell. But then he says, you're going to have to swallow the lamb. He said, they're going to have to eat it. What did Jesus say? Lest you eat my flesh, drink my blood. He's talking spiritually there. What was he talking about? He's talking about applying the blood of the Lamb. You're going to have to swallow Jesus. Oh, what did Philip over there in John chapter 1? He said, or it was Andrew actually. He says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, hey, when I seen you sitting underneath that tree over there, I knew you. He's going to have to swallow the fact that Jesus was the Lamb. And if you're going to go to heaven today, you're going to have to swallow the fact that Jesus is the Lamb for you. There is no other Lamb. It won't do. But let me end up here. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no readiness for service. If you was to look there in your Bible, we won't turn there this morning to Exodus 29:20. We would, and I told someone that I would give the answer Sunday morning to this. We understood that the Lord wanted to take a blood of the lamb and he wanted to anoint the ear of Aaron, the right thumb of Aaron, and the big toe on Aaron's right foot. You say, why? Well, it was a token that when you apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does he redeem you, not only does he reconcile you, not only does he, let me get that other point. No, there's remission for our sins. He's going to get you ready for service. Oh, you're not saved to sit. You're not saved to sit soaking sour. You're not saved just to do whatever. Because now he says you got to share this lamb. And the blood on the ear, it represents... to hear the word of God and enables us to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. The blood on the hand is to be able to handle the work of God. And the blood on the foot is to have a walk with God. See, the blood of this lamb does all that for you and me. And I don't think we spend enough time on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you do, the devil hates that thing. The devil hates the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the devil was doing over there in the garden. He wanted to poison the blood of man. He wanted to gain ownership of man. And it was through perverting his blood. And Christ said, I'm going to have to come. I'm going to have to redeem you. You can't offer your own blood. But in the meantime, take this lamb. And I want you to apply that lamb. That's a token between you and me. Just like the rainbow after the flood was a token that God would never destroy the earth by water again. This lamb was a token. It was right in
our Once text. Again, our time has come to an end. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening today. Until we meet again, whether it be here, there, or in the air, God bless you.
Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Touch me.